Light unto my path.
A light unto my path is He. Without Him I would fall. I don't know what He is to you, but to me He's my all.
Valleys
that you, oh, just you can't spare.
to Jesus. Because I know, yes, I know. It's Wednesday. I'm here to eat.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
It's absolutely good to be here. You know, every year on this date, I get a text from a student that I had about 20 years ago. His name's Dustin. A lot of you probably know him. But he says today's 8:28, and it's Romans 8:28. And that's stuck with him somehow. He's had a hard life. He's went through ups and downs, but he always remembers that scripture. Amen. He actually preaches to me. I'm like, oh, it's 8:28. It's Brother Moore's favorite scripture. And that stuck with him.
Amen.
And as I was looking through some of my notes, well, you have to confess this thing. You have to live this thing. And whether I've got a lot of things right or wrong, people that have been around me know that I've loved God. And I do love God. And I'm just thankful for that. And I also just wanted to share that my aunt sis, she's my dad's brother's wife, she's going to get her new reward. Her new coat is coming soon. Hospice is there, but she loves this body.
Amen.
She has given to this body. She supported this body, and she listens on her little cell phone. She doesn't have a computer, so I just love her so much, and I'm so proud that she knows who she is, because she knows she's going to an eternal place, and I'm so excited for her to be free. And then just one last thing. I was looking at the notes again. It said, the bride will never turn down any word. So no matter what's said tonight, I can already amen it. Because I'm the bride, and I'm proud to be here.
Amen.
Sister Jen, God bless you.
Amen. Yes, it's been on me to, confess. I'm a believer. Don't let anything interfere.
That's right.
I hold on to him. I pray, and he sets it right. He gives me everything.
Amen.
Just everything I need.
He's already provided.
The sweetness of it.
Yes. Oh my.
Just everything. And
yes.
Oh. He talks to me. He talks to me.
No, I know.
He talks to me and gets me through. Oh.
Oh yes.
Oh, I love it.
I'm here to confess that I am healed. I am an overcomer. I am the Word made flesh in this hour. I am the final voice to the final age. Can I have a G right quick, real fast? And he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share. Speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the joy we share as I tarry there. The one in my heart is ringing. Amen. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share everything to me.
Amen.
There is no other reason to get up in the morning than to give God exactly what he wants. We were working on a song called I Surrender All, and I began to talk to the Lord, you know, in those wee hours of the morning when you don't have any distractions, when you can be honest with yourself, and he's always honest with me. I said, Lord, have I really surrendered all? There's times I thought I was surrendering, but I wasn't surrendered. I give it all up now. I'm like they did on the old Western movies. They said, come out with your hands up.
Amen, amen. Go ahead, sister.
Good evening, body. I want to share something with the body. The Crisis, the Mystery of God Revealed is the book. You know, I'm only going to read and tell you what I got out of it, okay? So I'm not a preacher, but I am going to share. And it means something to me, so let me get it right. Check this out. We are on page 64. It says, listen. Listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, no denomination is accepted outside of this. God accepts nothing else but this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The
Amen.
Only thing that God recognizes, no fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, no nothing. Everything else is dead. It's fragments that has to be cut off, pruned away from the thing that Christ might have preeminence in you. You know, when I was reading this, it meant a lot to me. I want God to have preeminence in my life, and it requires something. And there's something here that I also wanted to share. I've just stopped. Drop down to the end. It says, "Not members." He never done it in the days of Moses. He never done it in the days of anybody else. At the end of the world.
That's right.
When it comes to the place where it has the destruction, the days of Lot. It wasn't membership. It was personal vindication. God in flesh. See personal vindication. The word is pregnated in me. And let me just say this.
That's
when you're
it.
Pregnant,
That's it.
You show something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show something. I'm a believer. I love this word. It shows me who I am. It lets me shake off this and shake off that. And like Brother Childers said many times, he said, you cannot stop those birds from flying over your head. But darn sure don't let them build no nest.
Oh, my goodness. I got to say something here because I had to check myself coming up in here tonight. Because I did like Sister Michelle, you know, the last service, I think it was a service or two ago, she talked about how she judged something wrong. And, you know, little do you know, there's a plan, a purpose for each one of our lives. I mean, it's so sovereign. God's got each and every one of our walks, and none of us can touch it. Can't touch it. And I caught myself touching something that I didn't know nothing about. How do I know what God's doing with somebody? You know, so, like, I had to... And again, he gave me the scripture just before I came out of the back room here. And I wanted to share it with you guys. You know, I'm not ashamed to get corrected in here because this is a house of correction. This is where we come to get it right, you know. I can be wrong sometimes out there. And I just want to be right. You know, I want to have the right spirit. I want to humble myself before I receive this word. Because if you receive, you receive in vain because you ain't got no love, you know. And so this was 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about right here. He said, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Oh, Lord, help me. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, Lord, help me with that. Help me with that. I keep no record of wrongs. Help me with that, too. love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Amen. And you know, my son corrected me this afternoon too. It's embarrassing, but I gotta say it, the truth, you know. And as disrespectful and maddening as it came across, he was right. He said, "Dad, you know, can you please watch your mouth? I watch my mouth, you know." And there's just I'm just sharing what God revealed to me about me. I hope this helps you. I hope me putting myself out there, as embarrassing as it is, I don't care. I'm not embarrassed because I want to help. I'm helping push this thing forward. So if my bads and my uglies and my goods, and no matter what I bring forth here, if it can help, I'll put it out there. I don't care because I'm about this. This is my only life. This is all I got. And I take this seriously. Each day that goes by, each service that comes next, after the next one, I take it more serious and more serious as we walk ourselves right out of here, just like Pastor said. And that's a personal thing. But I wanted to share this because if you don't have the love, even when you correct, it doesn't profit you anything. Go ahead, brother.
It is so good to be here. I'll tell you what, I couldn't. I was getting nervous. Those chairs make me nervous. Those pews, and I get stir crazy. But I tell you what, you know, I had nothing else to say. I had nothing to say, but you know what? It's a willing vessel. You know, that's, you've got to talk about confess. I mean, you've got to put yourself out there. There's got to be a push. There's got to be a push. You know what I was thinking, and I was getting my head today. I was at the gym, and I was facing a new weight that I had not tried before. And you talk yourself out of a revelation. You can talk yourself right out of it. You can sit on those pews. You can come in, sit down, and talk yourself right out of it.
Sure.
But, you know, I was like, you know what? Who am I? Who am I? I can do this. Nobody was there to help. You know, you get nervous. You get in your flesh. You get your emotions. But you know what? By your testimony, you overcome. I need those testimonies.
Yes.
I need those just as much as you need those. We are a body. Yeah. When you overcome, I overcome.
That's right.
You know what? It builds my faith. But you know, amen. I was thinking about it. And I got it. I lifted it. I was successful, and I felt good.
Amen.
Just like getting up here, I didn't know what I was gonna say, but you know what? It feels good.
Yes.
It feels good to be up. It feels good to be part of a body. I love this thing. I can't help but say amen.
Amen.
Brother Dwayne, that is nothing but the truth.
Yes.
This is the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. I've heard God already talk since he even got up. I heard the songs different. You think that we got our lives together and we're some sort of perfect people? Yes. But you know what? We have valleys.
Sure.
We have peaks and we have troughs. I love that song. Just take Jesus' hand.
Just take his hand.
I couldn't do it if I wanted to. There's not. This flesh could not do it. But you know what? Something within me. I love that. If that doesn't get you turned on, what will?
Right.
What will? Right. If you can't get turned on knowing that something within you, greater than he, that's in the world.
Yeah.
There are worlds out there trying to make you build something up. Oh, my Lord, I couldn't. I raced here.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't get here fast enough. I want to shake off the world.
Yes.
I don't want anything here. Get it off of me. I needed that dusting.
Yes.
I love it. I just want to come in here. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But you know what? I don't care what the week looked like.
Yeah.
I don't care what your circumstances look like.
Jesus.
Guess what? Where are you at now?
Yeah.
Where is it? You have an ear to hear. You have eyes that you can see. When you say amen, you identified with it. You identified with that word. Guess what?
Yep.
You're set.
It's too late.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're sealed. That's it.
Amen.
That's it. All you had to do was identify with that word. And you know what? Ain't nobody here because they don't want to be here. Not in this day and age. Not only this message. You're here because you're hungry. You want it. You're like, you know what? I want to learn more. Because it's 7:30 at night on Wednesday. It's hot outside. You know what? It's uncomfortable. But guess what? I'm hungry for it. Where am I going to get it from? I'm not going to get it at home. I'm going to get it from here. This small little building, this small little town, this big country.
Amen.
Right here. Nowhere else could you get it like this. I'm telling you. I'm
Amen.
Telling you, it's exciting.
Yes.
I can't sit still. And I love the fact that we're moving.
Yeah.
Because it makes me nervous now, because if I miss church,
right.
I'm like, oh my Lord, we're like light years.
Yeah.
Light years. Before we preach sermons, you know, series.
So
Now if you miss something, I'm like, I'm calling mom and dad, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, I need to touch Jesus. But I even know where Jesus is at. What else can you say about that? You're over here praying in a closet, praying to God that you can touch him. And I'm over here, I can call him on the phone. I have a contact list of Jesus. A many-membered body.
Yes.
I can call, and you know what's funny? Because we know where God's at. Yes. You're not torn up when your kid's out of the mouth of babes. You know what? Thank you for that perspective. Yes, I need to look different. I need to be pregnant with this word. It needs to take permanence in my life. It should look different. I should walk different. I should talk different. But it starts with a step. And you have to take a step. You can't just like, well, I guess I'll wait till God talks to me. You better keep waiting. Eventually, you got to step out on that and be like, you know what? I am them. I am part of the body. I have faith in this.
That's right.
He says I am, then I am. If he says I'm more than a conqueror, then I am. What am I supposed to do? Like, oh, no, not me, Lord, not me. No, I'll take all the praise.
Yeah.
I'll take all the benefits you can give me, the miracles, all the body. It's mine. I'm not going to sit there and shortcut myself, not in this day, not with I know.
Yeah.
No. You can't talk me out of it. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care what the flesh looks like. If you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's nothing but the truth. I don't care if you can't even live up to it.
Amen.
That's it. A believer believes. He believes. He doesn't believe a little bit. Doesn't believe partially. That's a make-believer. A make-believer is like, well, I like that, but it's all right. I like 99.999%. A believer believes 100%. So when you come in here, you're eating the word, even if it hurts, even if it burns, because you know what that does? It's like, you know what? Let me be better. Let me watch my mouth. Let me dress a little bit better. Let me support this church. I'm representing this body. And I'm not just representing the ones that are alive. I'm representing the whole thing, the whole body. I want to look good. I want to feel good. But you got to do something. You got to push.
Amen.
You're not going to sit here and just, God's going to be like, well, you know what? Brother Moore's like, you're going to get up here, Seth. We're going to have you get up here and say something. No, he's going to want you to push.
Yeah.
You want him to push?
Yeah.
I want to see all of us push. I need this. When you guys push, you know what it does to me? It's like having that person, if you've ever lifted weights or if you've ever gone to a sports event, they're cheering you on.
Yeah.
You get up here and like, yes, yes. You expect them to get up and preach.
Amen, corner.
But I need a corner man.
Yeah.
I need somebody to be like, you know what, let's go.
Yeah.
We got this.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I'm not saying this revelation comes with a lot of sensation, but you know what, sometimes we dust the world off.
Yeah.
We bring it here tired. We've had works. We've had school. We've been out in Satan's world till 7 o'clock if you got here on time. But I tell you what, as soon as you walked in, you made a choice.
Yes.
You made a conscious choice. Because God won't force himself on you. You got to make a choice. I'm telling you what, I'm making a stand. I'm making a stand. This is what I want. This is what is important to me. You're talking about the benefits. You got to make a stand on those benefits. You got to put something in. I tell you what, I'm nothing but a believer.
But the truth, Seth. That's Isaiah. I would say this, man. You putting yourself out there. That's nothing but the truth. I mean, when Micah rebuking you, you know, God's there. You know, and what can you say? So, funny story is, I'll say this, and I'll get down. Thursday, which you know, Sway talked to you guys about us going to camping and stuff like that, fishing. So we got back, and I had my hands full, and I was getting stuff. And I asked her, hey, Sway, where's my wallet at? And you know me, I'm real meticulous about stuff. Nobody knows me. I try to put things in places where I know where things are at. And, you know, I'm just going through the motions. And Sway said, you throw it away. And knowing me, I'm like, no, I didn't throw it away. You know, it's just me. So I put the stuff down, lifted the lid, and sure enough, my wallet's right there in the trash can. Now, you might think that's something small, but God's dwelling even in her. You know what I'm saying? And as a husband, I'm thinking, oh, God's here. No, God's in your wife, too. God speaks through your wife, too. You know what I mean? So you got, and like Dwayne tells me, tells everybody, be sensitive. And I wasn't sensitive at all to God at all. I was just going through the motions, not batting an eye.
I got
But you know what? You got to be sensitive to what God's saying. Stop worrying about the flesh. You got to have an ear to hear.
Amen.
Hear it. You can't worry about where it's coming from, because that's going to mess you up every single time. And I sat there and I thought, I said, you know what? And I apologize. I said, you know what, babe? I'm sorry. I should have been more sensitive, because I'm thinking, you know, it ain't in there. And sure enough, it's in there. So I had to laugh at myself, because, you know, so many times we go through life and God will say, God can talk to the mouth of babes. And you'll just ignore it because you, oh, that ain't nobody. Well, hey, you might need to think twice, because God's there. So I just want to thank God for that. And I thank God for you, Isaiah, for you putting yourself out there, because, hey, this is a body, and, you know, this is the house of correction. We all get corrected. So we know what, no one's exempt. So I praise God. I'm looking forward to the preaching. So amen.
Amen.
Thank you
for that, Kel. Go ahead.
Sneak on in. I'm going to slide in here. I'm going to say, I'm glad to be here. I'm an overcomer. Things are going to disappear for us. We're going to, I'm claiming it. So,
amen.
You don't make a move without claiming it. So, my life, everything that's going on, it's going to disappear. Things are going to be fine. So, I am so glad you guys helped me pray for this thing, and I'm going to get through this. It's not a problem. God's got it. He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
Amen.
I just feel led to say this. I know it's helpful to me. This is something I just gleaned on Sunday. These are the only set of notes that I took. And basically, it's for everyone that's a bit shy about getting up here. And it's basically about confessing. You know, get up here and confess. And I titled it Faith Building. Basically, first step, start off small, you know, keep it simple.
Amen.
But build up.
Yes.
You don't have to do it right then, but the next time, just keep building on it. Build your faith. You know, you got, like Brother Seth does, you know, he exercises, you know, he's a big dude. He didn't get like that overnight. And the same thing with your faith. You know,
amen.
You just step out there. Just step out. You know, God will give you something to say. Because, you know, you got to. Throw up a rock. And then finally, don't hold back.
Amen.
You know, don't do that. Those are the four things that I picked up Sunday. You know, and I was really fighting myself to get up here. But I said Sunday that I was going to make it a point to get up here and speak.
Amen. Amen.
And so you know how things are. Your flesh starts getting in the way. You're bashful. I go, well, no, I'm going to overcome that.
That's
so
right.
I just wanted to share that for starters. But the other thing, this is a song that we're practicing, and it just held so, it's so meaningful for me. It's this song called Revelations 19 and 1. I'm just going to, you know, I was curious. Like, what does this thing say? So I just looked it up. I'm like, man, that is me. But basically, I'm just going to read a little bit of this, and then
yes.
I'll sit down. Chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Well, guess what? I'm in there. I'm part of that voice, you know, of this whole body, including that. That's a big number.
Yes.
I just see myself in it, you know. You're the Word. If you're feasting on this Word, you are part of the Word. So any scripture, you know, I'm going to go off on a tangent here in a minute. I used to think about that. So, you know, Brother Branham said, if you read a scripture and you don't see Jesus in it, go back and read it again. And it used to bother me. Like, how does this relate? And so it finally dawned on me, you're the Word. I mean, you're feasting on the Word.
Amen.
You become the Word.
That's it. You know, so any scripture that you read, you're just reading about yourself.
That's it.
Because you are the Word. As long as you're feeding on this 100%, you are the Word. You become the Word. You know, we'll just, you know, our face muscles will get stronger.
That's right.
And stronger until we're just, you know, we have, we're going to just faith ourselves out of here, so to speak.
Amen.
And I am so looking forward to it.
Yes.
I want to read more, but I think I've said enough. But I just thank God that I've got my eyes open and I can see myself in this book.
Amen. Let's sing a shout to the Lord, key of A. Oh, go ahead, sis.
I just want to say that I'm thankful for being here, you know, and I just appreciate this place. And I'm a believer, you know. I didn't want a day to go by for Satan even believe that I'm not a believer, you know. And this is a place that there's no place I'd rather be than right here, you know. And like when you're not here for a long time, you know, you start missing it. You do whatever you can to get next to it, you know. You start listening when you can, and you know, I talk to James, and it's you know, it's just a, you know, your body craves it. You know, like your spirit craves it. Like you just crave this place. You know, and I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, you know, I'm trying not to drink coffee and sugar and that type of thing. And I was like, when I'm at work and people make coffee, I'm like, can I just smell it? You know, let me just smell it. You know, and I that's how I feel about this place. You know, I'm like, whatever I can do to get next to it, because I need this place, and I'm just thankful.
Yes. Let me say something real quick here too, because I feel like he's about ready to cut it off. And but just so much said, you know, it's beautiful. Y'all have preached a sermon already in your testimony. Beautiful. It's talking about a walk. Yeah. You know, start off with it. He walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I'm his own. It's a personal thing. You know, and that's between you and God. You got to know that. Can nobody tell you that? You can't copy after anybody else. It's got to be a personal walk.
Amen.
You know, and first of all, you got to understand what that is. You got to figure out what it is, because, I got to have personal walking. I have no clue what it is. You know, he's got to reveal it through your life and as you go through your ups and downs. And, you know, you think about all these mountains and valleys that we go through and all these tests and trials we have through life. That's a Christian walk. That's what we do. That's an overcoming. You know, if it wasn't for all that, there would be no overcoming. He just set us over in heaven or something. But you know, we prove what is that good and acceptable will of God in our life, you know, as we walk and as we come against temptation. You know, James said, count it all joy when you fall into temptation, you know, the trying of your faith work with patience, you know. So he's teaching us patience, he's teaching us resilience, and teaching us to overcome every day of our life. And but he's there, he's always there. When I'm going through a trial, it's not hard to believe him, because he's always there. He said he'd never leave me, never forsake me. You know, so just start looking for the way out, because he promised that. You know, always promised he'd raise up a way of escape.
Amen.
And, you know, when I first started thinking about that song lately, I'd heard it earlier in years, you know, that in the joy we share, you know, as we tarry there, none other has ever known. None other but you. You know your own personal walk. It's not the others don't have that same walk, too, but you know your personal walk with him. And I forget what it was, but I was thinking about something, and it just like he just spoke to me and said, like I've always been. You know, you was there, you led me this, you revealed this, revealed that, and just like I've always been. Yes. You know, and he's always been right there.
Right, always.
And it gives such a rest.
Yes.
I'm sitting there thinking about what all we've come to, what all I've come to in my life. I just speak for myself. You know, come a time when you're battling, you know, and then comes a time, Satan's not even in my picture.
No.
This is just flesh, spirit realm. God's already made a way for that. So I'm not getting too excited about that. The Bible doesn't even talk about it a whole lot, you know, but we almost capitalize on it. But I want to capitalize on what he's done. And he gives me a rest. This bride is perfect like she's never been before. And we understand that like we've never understood that before. You know, she's redeemed. You know, it's in the camp. It's done. It's a finished work. You know, these things in life, they come and go. You know, everybody's got mountains, everybody's got valleys, everybody's got puddles in their pathway. You know, you get around it, over through it, swim through it, whatever you got to do, you're still in the pathway. God still has
still
you. And I'm so thankful for the rest.
Amen.
And it seems like I keep coming back to that, but it's just what it is. It's a rest.
Yeah.
It's such a complete, perfect rest. Satan can't even get me upset anymore. You know, he's just over on the sideline somewhere, over in the shadow somewhere, yelling at me, jeering at me. I've tuned him out. I'm so focused on the Word. I still have a revelation of the Word of God that these things don't even bother me. And I go through troubles. I go through problems. I wrestle with myself, my spirit realm. You know, I get upset. I get stirred up. I get lax. I get sleepy. Everything goes with it. But that Word of God, that revelation of that Word of God is so perfect He's revealed to me. It's so perfect. It's so complete that I have time for nothing else. You know, just surrender to that. I mean, who couldn't? You know, say, well, I'm trying. I can't help it. It's every answer. If somebody comes up, I need $20, and somebody gives you $20, there's the answer. Yeah, there's nothing to fuss with. Take the $20. You know, he's given me full and free salvation. And I'm so thankful for that. And I accept that so wholeheartedly. And I surrender myself. And will I surrender tomorrow? Yeah. Do I believe? Yeah. Help thou my unbelief? Yeah. Will I learn more? Will I, things I've never looked at before? And will reveal? Yes, I'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord every day of my life. But I'm so at peace and so at rest. Used to be I'd get upset. Used to be I'd worry about things. Used to be I'm trying to be like somebody else. Used to be, oh, I wish I had this, wish I had that. You know, when I first come in here, Brother Chiller started saying, you know, I wouldn't trade shoes with any man. Now, I couldn't say that. I didn't say it out loud, but I knew I couldn't say that. But now, I wouldn't trade shoes with anybody else. I know what he's revealed to me. Amen.
Love you, brothers, but that was the last testimony. By way of announcement, September 7th, 10 p.m. service, joined by special guests, Brother Spivey Sr., Brother Ensko, and Sister Yap will be here. And then September 8th, 10 a.m. service, followed by picnic, fellowship. And then September 22nd, picture taking day, and please be on time for that because we got to get everybody together. You guys know the drill, so you don't even have to go through that. October 17th, we have the South Carolina trip, and if you have not paid your part, please do so. I don't know when the cutoff time, Brother John. When's the cutoff? So the 1st of October, you guys got till the 1st of October to get your payment in for everything that you need. I'm sure he's already got you guys each got your text messages or whatnot to make your payment and stuff. So October 1st. And that's the announcements there. Let's change the song. Let's play Let Go and Let God, Key of F. And then we'll get them up. God bless the testimonies. God bless you, brothers. If God sees fit for Sunday, bring your testimony with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Let go.
Sing that again. Amen.
Bright, let go.
more time. Just let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. All your nights turn to day. Just let go and let God have His way. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. Lord, we know there's spoken prayer requests and unspoken. Lord, answer those prayer requests tonight, Lord. The song says, I don't want to leave this place the same. I need you now, Lord. Lord, we all need a touch and a word from you tonight. That's why we come here. We weren't forced, we weren't pushed. Lord, we're here because we love you. We love the word and we want to hear more of it. Lord, bless the speaker and the hearers. Help us both get out of the way and receive the word that you have for us here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. I know, echo the sentiments of everybody else, but I'm happy to be here. This is a great place to be.
Right.
And every time I come here, I leave better. Every single time. Every single time I come here, I leave better. I can come here sick and I leave well. I can come here not understanding and I leave with understanding. I don't know what I got to do, Praveen. Turn it off. There we go. I can do all those things. I can come here with family issues and I leave without family issues. I can come here with job problems and I leave here without job problems. I can come here with kid issues and I leave without kid issues. I can come here with school issues and I leave without school issues. I'm telling you that every time I walk through the door, it's better. When I come in here, I leave better than when I got here. Every single time. And if that's not like that for you, you need to stop yourself right now and say, Lord, I'm not leaving today unless you make it better than when I got here. When you say, oh, Brother Jay, is there precedent for that? Yes, there is. Yeah. Oh, when God, when he was wrestling with Jacob in the mountaintop, he said, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. He said, get off of me. I got places to be. It's the morning. Stop. He said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. In my soul. That's how I come here. That's how I come here. As a matter of fact, think about that. I mean, even in the natural. If you went to the doctor, if I go to urgent care, I expect to leave better than when I got there. That's urgent care. That's not even a hospital. That's not even full of doctors. That, I'm just telling you, on the simplest place, you go there with an urgent need, and you expect to, if I don't feel better, you know what I'll do? I'll go to the hospital. I'll go get a second opinion. I'll go to another urgent care. I'm not going back home the same way I left it. And that's just in the natural. Yeah. When you go to church, you should leave better than when you got here. Amen. If you're telling me that you're fellowshipping and singing and the praises of the Son of Man ministry, what does that mean? Yes. That means that God in flesh. Yes. There's no room for misinterpretation. When I say something to you, I'm talking directly to you.
Amen.
Oh, see, now, brother, Pastor Moore preached on the Son of Man ministry. Yeah. Now there's three ministries of that. Yeah. Okay, we know this, but we're gonna go over it just real quick. Okay? So you got the Son of God,
right.
You got the Son of Man, and you got Son of God, Son of David. Sorry, there it was. David. I'm like that because he's not the Son of David ain't me. That's why I forgot it. But that sorry about that. But Son of David. So, but when they say the Son of David, we're gonna read that scripture here. But when they were calling him Son of David, now, here's the thing. If I say it too simple for the theologians, I do know what I'm talking about. But when they were looking at the Son of David ministry, it was really just about healing. When you go through the Bible and you see them say Son of David, even. Barnabas, or either the lady, I'm going to read about her. But when they were looking at that, the Son of David ministry was God moving on something, not in a person. He'd be moving on something. Okay, so you've got the Son of God ministry, that's an unseen force. Okay, so just for you guys to understand it, unseen force is like He created the worlds, the lights, the ground, the soil, the gravity, blah, 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 all those things He created. Okay, you didn't see Him create it. But we enjoy that creation, and we as believers recognize that God did it.
Right.
We're smart enough to recognize that God did it. Now, just for a quick pause there, right? We're just smart enough to believe that an intelligent force created all of this. Now, just think about this. If you flew over an island and you saw some writing, you would realize that somebody, even if you couldn't understand it, if it was written in Mandarin, you'd go, that's a language. There's somebody intelligent wrote that out. That's as the believers, we look at this and I go, somebody intelligent wrote this plan out. I may not understand all the characters, but I do understand that somebody intelligent wrote this out. Now, that's the Son of God. Now, the Son of David, I told you about the healing. But the Son of Man ministry, when that happens, see, it doesn't happen often. Because when that happens, it's God in his fullness. That means there's no more mysteries. There's no more thinking of what it could be. You're actually talking directly to God when it's the Son of Man ministry. So it's just the ministry to the rest of the world. It's just the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, all three in one when you are a believer. Because you see God in all those phases. I see God in nature, I see God in healing, and I see God in you. I'm a believer. I see God in all those phases. But when we're just siloing them out and letting you know what they are, the Son of Man ministry is God in flesh.
Yes.
Now, that's what Pastor Moore preached about. Son of Man in the end time. See, when you get to the fullness, that is the end time. You fill a cup all the way up, it gets to the fullness. That's the end of filling the cup. That's it. You're done putting stuff in there. When you get to the Son of Man ministry, that is the end. That's why even the book of Revelation is titled the book of Revelations. That's the end of the mystery of Jesus Christ. It's now he's in his fullness. It's no longer a mystery anymore. And when you can understand it, now it becomes a revelation. But until then, it's just a book of symbols. It's just a book of secrets. It's just a book of mysteries. But when you're a believer and you see God all in through there, it's a revelation that is God. It's no more mysteries. Oh, my.
Amen.
That's what gets me excited. So tonight, I'm going to be preaching about fellowshipping with God. Because when you realize that you're fellowshipping with God, it should be a little bit different than everything else that's happening. Oh, Pastor Moore, he brought out, and I know I'm all over the place with this, but we'll get to it. I got scriptures and da-da-da-da. We got all that. I'm talking to believers tonight. I'm just going to preach. If I can read something, I'll read it, but I got it there. Y'all been with me long enough to know that I do read the Bible. You've been with me long enough that I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to give you something to encourage you, to push you along the way. I'm helping you out. I'm my brother's keeper. I want to help you out, let you see this thing clearly. Because when you realize that you're in a Son of Man ministry, it looks different than the rest of the world. They're not even looking for him. That's what the scripture says. It says it'll be like it was in the days of Noah when they weren't looking for God. It'll be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. They weren't looking for God. In the days of Lot, they weren't looking for God. Pastor Moore illustrated that point, but I'm going to clinch that nail tonight. He said everybody looks at homosexuality. They look at this. They look at that. Wasn't the problem. It was that the entire world didn't care about God at all. It was full of unbelievers. And you say, oh, Brother Jay, that's harsh to say. No, that's what's going on right now. This world is full of unbelievers. What? How do you know it to be so? What did Abraham, see, because Abraham and Lot were different. And I know we know this story, but I get excited about it because I know where I was at in that story. When you talk about, like Brother Warren said, I read myself in there. When I read the Bible, see, that's the problem with a lot of people with the Bible. The Bible doesn't, it's talking to multiple groups at the same time. So sometimes people go, oh, the Bible also says you can do this, but it says wives submit. It says you should do this. They'll go, it says you should have slaves, but it says you should. That's because he's talking to two different groups of people. The fact that you're confused shows me that you don't know what group you are. I know when he says love your wives, love Christ, love the church, that is not even talking about natural. He's talking about spiritual, saying I love you so much that if your marriage was perfect, which it can't be, you got flesh and spirit, you're going to, as much as my wife loves me, I'm going to get on her nerves tonight. I will. Let me sleep without my CPAP on. See how much she loves me. You want to be real? Let's open up the doors a little bit. Right? So we've been married 20 years. She's going to be like, hey, I appreciated you yelling at church, but tonight I need to get some sleep. Right? That's because we got those two other rims. Right? But her soul wants to hear from me. Her soul would wake me up and say, preach again. Tell me some more about it. Read another scripture. You skipped over that one note. Read it again tonight. That's what happens on the soul. But see, the church world, they got you looking at two different things in the Bible. Just follow what God's telling you, and you'll be all right. Oh, my, my, my. See, I'm looking at everything. I just see things different now. Because even when we talk about that story of Abraham, Abraham said, Lord, but what if there be, did he say, Lord, if there be only five heterosexual males down there? Lord, if there were three straight females? Lord, if there were four whites? Lord, if there were two more blacks? No. God said, ain't none of them a believer.
Right.
He said, Lord, but maybe 50. He said, if there's 50 down there, Abraham, I'll save the whole place.
Right.
I'll save the whole city if there's 50.
Yeah.
Abraham was like, well, you answered too quickly. What if there was 30? He was, 30?
Yeah.
Abraham, whatever number you want to say. Abraham got to the single digits.
Yes.
None. There was nobody down there. Not one. Lot was only saved because of Abraham's sake.
That's it.
That's the only reason why God helped Lot is because of Abraham. But what message did Abraham get? Abraham got the answers to everything.
Yeah.
Abraham was actually fellowshipping
yes.
with God. That's what we're doing. We're fellowshipping with God. Oh, is the world dark? Yes, it is. Is the world going to be destroyed? Yes, it is. Is the world full of unbelievers? Yes, it is. But from where I'm sitting, is it total light? Yes, it is. Am I in the darkness? No, I'm not. Do I know where I'm going? Yes, I do. Am I headed for destruction? No, I'm going in a rapture. How do you know the answers to these things, Brother Jay? Because I'm fellowshipping with God every single day. Oh, my, my, my.
Right.
You can't take this away from me.
Amen.
You can't make me doubt him.
Amen.
I know too much about him. He's revealed himself to me. You know,
Amen.
To even be able to acknowledge that there is a Son of Man ministry, to be able to acknowledge it, that means you're blessed beyond that you can have an understanding to just say, that ain't nothing but the truth. That makes sense. Why is the rest of the church world not even looking for God? Not even looking. Come on now. Now y'all know, I'm not talking to people that don't have the internet. You can go listen to any service you want to. Count on how many, you can count. If there be 50 people talking about a rapture and a bride and a group of people that should know what it is in this last day, bring them. Show me. Show me 50 people out in the world that are looking for that. They go to church and say, Pastor, you preached, but when are you going to get to the revelation of the rapture? Because I know there's got to be more than this. It's got to be more than bake sales and building hospitals. That only lasts so long. There's got to be something that takes care of me eternally. Oh, my mama. And this group right here, not only am I secure, I've got a token. That's my reward that I get to take my loved ones with me. All that I love and all that love me will be there. Those are the crown, the jewels in my crown. That's a reward that I get for just believing God. Oh, my, my, my. See, so when you ask me why am I happy, this is the reason why I sing. Because I got something that the world can't take away from me. This didn't come by my studies. This didn't come by my rituals. This didn't come by traditions. This breaks every tradition. This breaks every ritual. For us to say that we are equal with God is the exact same thing that got Jesus killed. They don't like to see God because when they know God, you know what? They fear God. That's why they don't want you to be God. They don't want you to have that knowledge, that power, that authority. That, you know what they said to Jesus? They said, matter of fact, Jesus probably could have claimed he was God. Probably would have been okay. But he started forgiving sin. He started saying people were worthy that they thought weren't worthy. You know that's one of the biggest rocks they throw at Fairborn? How do you let them preach? How are you letting Brother Jay get up there? He's terrible life. How are you letting Jeremiah get up there? Well, he probably wouldn't say about Jeremiah. That's my buddy. I know he's traveling. He's listening in. A little message to my friend. But that's what they say. How do you let those people testify? You being a man, making yourself equal to God, how do you have the power to forgive sin? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Oh, no, no, no. I'm like that 80s commercial. I'm Mr. Big Stuff. That's who I think I am. I've been given the authority. I've been given the power. I know who I am. If it's not me, it's got to be somebody that looks and sounds just like me in this hour saying the things that I'm saying. Because if not, if you don't know what time it is, you're crapped up in another age. Right? You're trapped. You don't know what's going on. And it's like, so you, if it's not me, then where are we at then? Where are we at then? If it's not the end time, then where are we then? If I'm not fellowshipping with God, because I feel that I am fellowshipping with God. I don't have questions like they have questions. I don't have fears like they have fears. Amen. I don't have doubts like they have doubts. I don't. When I go to a funeral, I know where my loved ones are going.
That's right.
When I mess up, I know where that mess up is. When I fall out, I know I can get right back up.
That's right.
When I'm short, I know I got time to do it. If I wake up in the morning, I go, oh, I got another day.
Yeah.
I can get right. And if I never get right, I'm still going home.
Amen.
If this tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one waiting on me. Who does that sound like I'm talking like? My husband. We sound just alike. Oh, my. There's got to be a group that talks like this. There's got to be a group. Because he said in the day, Jesus even said, in those last days, it's going to be just like it was then. Noah knew what was going to happen. He knew for sure. He knew so much that it was going to rain and wipe out the world that he kept building the boat. He didn't get to a point where he go, man, I'm tired of this. I can't go another day. Maybe he won't make it rain. No. For 100 and some years. Never stopped. He didn't know how. God didn't tell him when it was coming. He said, Noah, you build the boat. When you finish, flood's coming.
Right.
Noah could have finished in 5 years, flood would have happened in five. 10 years, flood would have happened. Took Noah 100 years? 120? Then God made a flood.
Right.
God did what he said he would do. Yeah. Noah knew that the end was coming. So much so that he was preaching to everybody.
Amen.
Hey, the end is coming. The end is coming. He was even telling them how it was going to happen.
Yeah, right.
It's going to rain.
Amen.
Noah, you idiot. You drunk fool. We've got spaceships and rockets. Now, Brother Branham even said that. They could go up into the sky. That's not bow and arrows. To get up to the sky, you got spaceships and rockets. They were smart people. Now, Pastor Moore said one time, he said, we're probably going to be surprised how close those stars are. And I thought, you know, that's right. We will be surprised how close they are. We make so things so far off. We think that the Egyptians built pyramids by rolling rocks. Come on now. I picked up gravel. No matter how many people you get, the weight don't get distributed. If you pick it up one ton, you fill one ton, you fill one ton, you fill one ton. It don't matter. You can have 100 people, you're still going to fill a ton each person. So to think they just down the water canal, whatever, that's man's thinking. Because what man tries to do is they don't want to see the evolution.
No.
Right? Man wants to be the final thing. Matter of fact, even when they talk about evolution, they're like, well, we had to come from monkeys and come up. God, it could have just been a man right then, right? That's how I believe it. It was a man right then. That's what happened. Got a man.
Right.
That missing link is Satan, not some monkey that then started evolution, right? Not all the gorillas ain't turned to man yet. They've had time. They've had time. They've even watched what we do. But that's just man. That just shows you, like, common sense is not that common anymore. They don't know, so I don't even think about them. If they're so messed up on the beginning, they're not going to get the end of the story. That's why I'm happy that we're going to go back to talk about serpent seed.
Amen.
Talks about those two frameworks in the middle of the church working. When you understand Genesis, you'll see why we need Revelation. You'll see that. And I'm looking at all these things, and I'm like, we are just a blessed group. We're just so, so blessed. Let me read a scripture here before I get too far ahead. It's over in Matthew 15. And I'll read this here. And like I said, tonight we're talking about fellowshipping with God, so that is our general theme tonight. If I mess it up, I mess it up. But we got time. And Brother Don even said we already had preaching. So this is just the icing on the cake. It's the icing. So let's read over in Matthew 15. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Remember I talked about that, the healing part. She wanted healing. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He didn't answer her at all. That wasn't his ministry. Matter of fact, he even said to them, I'm He said to the disciples, he was like, this is not my time for her. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She recognized who he was. Now she, Lord, help me. And then he helped her. He said, great is thy faith. Now he helped her. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, in this world right now, people are calling the wrong name. Right? And it's important to know who you're talking to. Right? Like, it just really is. You got to approach God the right way. You got to call him the right name. Right? And you know, we've used these examples before, but I'm sharing with you. Like, if I'm in a room and my wife is there and I hear babe, I'm going to look up. I'm like, she might, where? She said my name? Babe? I'm going to look up. But if I'm in a room and she's not there and somebody says babe, I keep walking. I know you're not talking to me. If I'm in a room and my kids are not there and somebody says dad, I don't look up. Right. You're not talking to me. Right. I know you're not talking to me. I got two kids. They're not in here. I'm not your dad. I know you're not talking to me. But if I'm in the room, my kids are there, and they say dad, and I hear the word dad, I look up. I respond. Yeah. Right now, you've got a world full of people that are calling Jesus the wrong name. Yeah. You got to call for the bride right now. Yeah. Without seeing the bride, you won't see God in this hour. Yeah. You call for Jesus all you want. He's moved. God is moved. All that God was, he poured into Christ. He didn't stay there. Calling for him, you're speaking to somebody that ain't listening. He's not home anymore. Everything that was in Christ, he poured into the bride. That's where God is now. That's where he's at. That's where he resides now. So if you want to see God, you got to call for him by the right name. He's no longer an unseen force. He's no longer focused only on healing. It's the fullness. And when you get to the fullness, now you can have rapturing. Uh-oh. That's the whole goal of this. Amen. That's when you can get out of here. It's when you got the Son of Man in his fullness. Now you have the ability to get raptured out of here. Oh. Amen. Now it's important to understand where you're at. Now you can see why it's important to know where God is. Because unless you know where he is, you're not even knowing what to wait on. If God's still an unseen force, the rapture ain't happening for you. It's not. You got too many steps to go. You still got so many steps to go. You don't even know where God is. If he's an unseen force, he's just whispering in the wind. Maybe you see him in the cloud. Maybe you see him in the leaves. Maybe you see him here. Maybe when you're praying, you often hear some kind of whisper. Nope. That ain't going to be how you get this revelation. Oh, does songs encourage me? Yeah, sure they do. I can listen to a song on the radio and it'll strengthen me a little bit, give me a little bit of information, but no, I don't get no revelation. I need preaching. I have to get preaching. I need God himself to speak the words to me for me to pick it up. I need a man to speak the words directly to me for me to pick this up. Without it, it's impossible to hear from God. It's impossible. You don't even have to have, you know. When we look at all these things, it's like all these things funnel back to the same thing. We only have one thing on our plate. And that's to get out of here. But you can't even get to that point of only having one thing on your plate unless you know who you are. Right? It's okay to see God in me. That's great. That's a good start. That's a really good start that you recognize that God is here. And Dwayne is so right. All those people that he's worked with, they recognize that he knows God. Matter of fact, they might not talk to him for 10 years, but when they need a serious prayer, where's Dwayne at? I know he knows how to get a hold of God. I've seen God move in Dwayne's life. Dwayne, pray for me. Because they know where God is. But all the other times, the world don't want God. They don't want him. They just don't want him. So I don't have time for them to not want him. I want to just only focus on believers. I've got tunnel vision when it comes to the believers. I can help. I can support. I can encourage. I can motivate. I can push. I can do all kinds of help for a believer. I have zero time or tolerance or patience for an unbeliever. Why? I don't have anything that would help them. I don't have anything that would help them. You say, oh, Brother Jay, how does your life get on track if you think my life's on track? The Word. Brother Jay, how did your marriage get fixed? The Word. Brother Jay, I'm going through marriage problems. Well, all I got is the Word. Brother Jay, I got kids problems. All I got is the Word. The only thing I can give you that helped me was the Word. I have no other doctor, theologian. I have no other psych class that I took at Rice State. I have nothing else that can help you like the Word helped me. So if you're not a believer, I can't help you.
Amen.
Why would I waste my time? Why would I even waste my time? Oh, Brother Jade, so you're saying you don't have humanity? I have. Come on now, you're stupid. I don't even want to say it that way. You're ignorant. You're ignorant. You just don't even know me. You don't even know who I am. You're just like the people in the Bible when they said, oh, I want to see God. And Jesus said, have I not been so long with you? Have I not been so long with you? I can say that about myself, 20, 30 years in this thing. If you ever think that I'm trying to offend you, have I not been so long with you? If you ever think that I'm not trying to help you, have I not been so long with you? I'll rebuke you with your statement. Have I not been so long with you that you would think that I would try to hurt you? Come on. Come on. Think back. Go back just to yesterday. You ain't got to go back far. We've always been there for you. And when I say we, I'm talking about the body, not just me. The body. Because when you talk about me, you're talking about the body. See how I pulled that in there? You got to love me. You got to love me. I'm part of the body. Oh, Brother Jay, that person hurt my feelings. Get over your feelings. This is bigger than your feelings. This is bigger than your bank account. This is bigger than your isms. This is bigger than the bully at school. This is the most important thing that could ever happen to you, is that you get a revelation of this thing. That's why Brother Branham said, you can never overemphasize it. Never. If you get up every service and say, praise God, I see this thing, and sit back down, that's the best testimony you can give. Oh, you think, oh, you're oversimplifying it. It comes in simplicity. You're overcomplicating it. You're trying to put your own thinking on it. I don't want your own thinking. You don't know enough to give it to me anyway. You don't even know the answers. Just say where you're at. Don't try to guess where everybody else is. Don't try to guess what you think I want to hear. I'm fellowshipping with God. I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I know what's up the next. Oh, my. God's been too good to this little group. He's been too good to this little group. I think about that all the time. I'm thinking, you know, the second I understood this for myself and saw what was going on, that story of Rahab is just so much better. Now, I was doing a little texting a couple weeks back with Brother Tommy, and we talked about that, the story of Rahab, and it's been on my mind ever since. I can't think about Rahab without thinking about myself. I'll find the scripture here in a second, but story of Rahab, okay? We know this story. Rahab recognized the people of God. When the spies came in the land, she recognized them. She recognized, I'll read it here in a second, just so you get the Bible verse for it. But she recognized the people of God. And she recognized that they served the real God. She's like, y'all God's for real. Like, we know y'all God is for real. We, matter of fact, everybody in town is afraid. Because we know that if your God says to do something, nothing's going to stop them. It's going to happen. Oh, yeah, we got the most fortified city in the world. Oh, yeah, we got the best army that people could get. Oh, yes, we have all those things. But we've seen what your God can do. We don't want no problems with that. We don't want any problems with that. That's what Rahab recognized. Now, during this time period, they were trying to chase and kill those spies that were in the land. They're like, we got to kill these people because they get any more information. They already got God on their side. They can't get no more information. We got to kill those spies. So they were chasing them down. So when I said I'm like Rahab, Rahab recognized an opportunity. Remember when I said I'm not letting go until you bless me? I'm not letting go. I'm not even leaving until you touch me. I'm not leaving. Rahab, see, now here, I'm going to just read the scripture. Now, it's over in Joshua chapter 2. I'm just reading the scripture. It says, now, this is after she talked to the spies and was going to let them go. She said, now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. You're going to have to promise me something. Y'all about to head on down the wall. You about to head out. I know you're leaving. Since I have showed you kindness, that ye also show me kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. That's one of the few times tokens mentioned in the Bible. And that ye will save alive. See, now here's Rahab. That's what I love about this. Rahab didn't just ask for herself. Rahab didn't just say, save me. I want to be all alone in this new world that y'all creating. She said, and that ye will save alive. I don't want him dead. Don't give me no memorial. Don't be like the Catholic Church and redig up the dead bones and then make them a saint 70 years later. No. I want them alive. That ye will save alive my father. Yeah. Did she stop there? And my mother, and my brother, and my sisters, and as a matter of fact, she was like, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab didn't stop with herself. That's I said, I'm like Rahab. Oh, now that I got this goodness, I'm sharing it. I'm claiming everything that God said I can take. Oh, Lord, I want my father. You can have him. And I want my mother. You can have them. I want all my sisters. You can have them. I want all my brothers. You can have them. I want all that they have too. You can have them. But I want you to save them alive. I don't want them to go through this tribulation. I want them to come with me. I want them with me. I want them to come with me. And he said, you can have them. Oh, my. I'm like little Rahab. She was fellowshipping with God.
Yeah.
Got some answers.
Yeah.
Rahab saw the destruction was close.
Yeah.
Saw the end was near. She knew what was coming next. Just like Noah knew what was coming next.
Yeah.
Just like Abraham knew what was coming next. Rahab knew what was coming next. She knew that that group, those walls had to come down some kind of way. And that group was going to, they were in the way of God.
Yeah.
It was going to fall. She didn't know how. She just knew the end was near. Yep, God's people are here. We only got a couple of days left. I don't know when they're coming. And matter of fact, Rahab had to do something, though. She had to put that cloth out the window. She was just waiting. She put that out there. They said, when we come back, just put that out there. You do that, we'll honor our token. We're good. You put that out there, and we'll take care of it all. That's very simple. Very, very simple.
Right.
And when they came there, did they come back with knives and forks? No. They didn't come back with guns and knives and swords and shields. They just rolled up and started marching around the city. And you know what Rahab did?
Yeah.
I see them.
Tokens on his
plate. Mom, Dad, get in the house. They're here.
Yeah.
How long are we going to have to stay here, Rahab? I don't know. The next day, they were walking around. That cloth stayed out there. Next day, Rahab, we really want to leave. Don't you open the door. I got enough food. I got enough water. I got everything we can need for however long we need to be here. They didn't tell me how long it was going to be. They just said, put that cloth out there. 5 days, 6 days. On that seventh day, they came out and they marched around the city and started yelling. Them walls came down. And everything on those walls fell down. Except Rahab's house. Everybody inside of Rahab's house survived. If anybody would have just been on the outside of the door, they would have died. Oh, my.
Amen.
As for me and my house.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, see how we can apply this? When you get an understanding on this, these scriptures, they run together. Now you can see why I see myself in every verse.
Yes.
As for me and my house. What's my house? My house.
Yeah.
Everything in my house.
Amen.
All that I love and all that love me. As for me and my house. Even if I got brothers that don't even want to believe in God, they're still in my house. They're in my house. I still got them in here. I got the door shut, just like Noah had the door shut. God closed that door. He put a desire on the inside of me that I can't walk away, no matter how hot it gets in here. No matter how much they want to correct me. No matter how much I get pushed down and tell me I need to lift back up. No matter what God asks for me to do, the door's closed.
Yeah,
Noah was locked in and the world was locked out.
Right.
No matter what Noah wanted to do, when that door was closed by God, it didn't matter who was sitting where. They were already accounted for.
Amen.
In 1963, the book was opened and we got to see all the names. It didn't matter what they wanted to do after that. They were already accounted for.
Amen.
I can't even take my name off the book.
No.
Woo!
Amen.
That's a revelation. See, what that does is that makes me know that there's nothing I can do bad enough. And there's nothing I can do good enough. I'm sealed in. How do you know that you're sealed in? I've been fellowshipping with God. I've been fellowshipping with God for a long, long time. A long time. And I'm not tired yet. Oh, my. Let's go down here and read another scripture. I love this thing.
Amen.
Because, see, Pastor Moore was talking about, you know, those that are waiting. We're the group that's waiting. Because we know what we're waiting for. They got tired of waiting for Brother Branham. They got tired of waiting for Brother Branham. I got patience. I don't know when he's coming. I don't care. My token has already been applied. I'm just waiting it out. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be tonight. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Matter of fact, even when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they were dressed and ready. Didn't know that that was going to be there last night. They were already prepped. God had already prepped them. He said, hey, when you eat this time, eat in haste. Have your shoes on. Be ready to go. Oh, that's this group. I'm eating in haste. I'm eating the word of God in haste. This might be my last service. So I want to enjoy every bit of it. That's why it's important to give it your all. You don't know if this is your last service. You know how sick you feel? I'm going to tell you from experience. How sick you feel if you're sitting around and you can't testify? And you're seeing everybody else testify? And you actually want to now, but you can't? But you can't? You're going to feel sick. And they go, oh, Brother Jay, tell another hospital story. I am Satan. Because it was when I was healed. It was when God shook me. He gave me a preaching liver. You want me to sit down on that? That was a blessing. I'm a living proof that prayer works. If you don't even know God is real, just look up here. Look up here. Look up to the Lord a little bit. Just touch the hem of my garment a little bit. That's how real it is to me. And that's how real it should be to all of you. Oh, you should have your own hospital story. You should have your own time where God vindicated himself to you. Every single one of us have those stories. I just happen to have the mic right now. So I'm going to tell you mine. I was sitting there. My voice was hoarse. It was gone. I'm sitting there laid up in the bed. Can't move. And I'm seeing everybody steal my testimonies. Oh, Brother Isaiah getting up. We're going to do this for Brother Jay. Brother Kevin getting up. Seth getting up. Dwayne getting up. And I'm like, it can't say it like I can. You can't. You don't know what I know. You don't see what God like I see God. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. When you're sitting there and you can't say it, you wish you would. That's what should happen to you. There's a whole other group of people that go, well, I don't have nothing to say. I always got something to say. Amen. I always got something to say. He's always good to me. Do I have breath? Yes, I got something to say. Amen. I got a revelation that nobody else got. There's millions of people that wish they could see God. There's millions of people that wish they could hear from God. I hear from him every day. Every day. Every day I hear from God. I hear from God so much I can pick when I want to hear from him. I can pull my phone out and maybe not take a call and take another call. Come on now. Am I the only person with a phone? You don't answer all the calls. Just telling you. Sometimes I might be a little busy and I don't get the call. I'm like, ah, that's God calling me. I'll call him right back. Look how free I am. I'll call him right back. I can't wait to fellowship with him. Get out of this crazy situation. Yep, I'm at work. How you doing? God bless you, brother. God bless you. You know what? Thank you. I'm going to head back to work now. Different attitude. I just got to fellowship with God a little bit. That put things in the right perspective. I was letting temporal things get in the way of my eternal destination. I was letting things that don't really matter act like they matter. I was letting people that don't even know who God is treat me like I'm not God. I know who I am. I should stand different, walk different, talk different, act different, look different. Oh, Brother Jay, you're just trying to manufacture something. Now, Brother Jeremiah did the book bags. I got something here for y'all. I'm going to mess up my shirt and get in trouble. But you know, we always talk about being pregnant. Sister Belinda said that. Now, you can manufacture it. Walk around with this under your shirt and go, I'm pregnant. Everybody that's been pregnant says you look like a fool. You're pretending. Ain't nothing changed in you. That's a put on. That's a put on. That's how stupid you look with a put on. But if you were really pregnant, your walk is different. You can't even hide it. You want to, but you can't. You sit down different. You go to move. You just like, let me. Oh, right? I'm telling you, that's what happens when you're pregnant. For real, everything about you is different. Your facial structure is different. How you carry the weight is different. How you want to walk is different. How you even talk is different. Everything is different because it's all different. Everything about you is different. Even when you want to go to the bathroom, it's different. That baby start kicking on that bladder, you're going now. I normally can wait. No, you can't. Go on now. Right? That's how I feel about what I got to say. It's everything's altogether different. Oh, it's quiet. I got something to say. There's a life on the inside of me kicking to get out. Oh, is there a free second on the mic? I got something to say. I'm fellowshipping with God and I know it. Oh, my. If Lot really knew what power Abraham had, he would have been up there with him. They were walking together. If you go back and read the stories, Abraham and Lot walked together. And Lot got a little greedy and didn't recognize that God was always blessing them as long as Abraham was around. He didn't recognize that. They get so much so that their group started fighting a little bit. Oh, you got the bigger sheep. You got the bigger goats. And blah, blah, blah. I don't know what they fought about. But they fought. Got to the point, Abraham's like, man, we're going to have to go our own separate ways. It's getting crazy here. You're not recognizing that God's blessing us. Everywhere I step. Abraham so knew that God was with him. That when they got to a little peak in the road where they can go their own different ways, he said to Lot, Lot, you pick.
Right.
You pick anywhere you want. God's with me.
Right.
Hey, I'll make it on a rock. If I'm laid up on a rooftop somewhere, he's going to make water. He'll make a way. He'll bring food from the sky if he needs to. So Lot, since I have a revelation that God is always with me, I always fellowship with God. You pick where you want to go. Lot, being the carnal person that he was, saw green pastures, saw dry land on that side, green grass on this side. He was like, Abraham, you know what I think we should do? I think I'll go this way. That looks good for me. Because I got the most sheep, Abraham. So I'm going to go over here so they can feed. And then you and your people go up on the rock in the desert. Good luck, buddy. Let me know how it turns out. That's how they ended up separated. Right? So when you say, why was Abraham and Lot separated? Because they couldn't walk together anymore. Lot forgot that Abraham was with God all the way through. Because Abraham never lost touch with God. He was fellowshipping the whole time. So much so that when God came down to talk to Abraham, he had to talk to him up on that mountain that he had left Lot. Went up there in fellowship with Abraham. Had Lot stayed with Abraham, he would have been right there too saying, how many people you think are down there? 5? Lord, would you save me if it was 10? He would have been right there. God ain't no respecter of person. Oh, Brother Jay, you can't say he would do that. He said it to Cain. He said it to Cain. He said, Cain, if you just do what your brother did, I'd honor it. See, what we have here is so easy to get that they don't even, it's too easy. What we have is just too easy. They go, oh, you got to work it out. You got to have attendance records or something. You got to keep this or something. You got to read so many books or something. No, I was given this freely. I hadn't read one book all the way front to back, and I got a revelation. I'm just telling you how it works. I got a revelation. What happened to me is I realized that I had never turned down the word.
Yeah.
That was one of my revelations. I thought, no matter how hot it gets, I simply just say amen. And I'm like, wait, they said that's the evidence that I'm a believer, is that I receive every word. Oh, but then Satan tried to keep, but Brother Jay, you don't live up to every word. It didn't say I had to. I'm looking over the terms and conditions, and it just says simply believe. Matter of fact, when you go over to the faith chapter, it says, by faith, they received a good report. The fact that they believed God is all that was required of them. That's it. That's all we know about every messenger. That's all we know about every prophet. That's all we know about everybody in the Bible is that they believed God. That's it. Oh, I don't know. I mean, we look at all these other things, and I'm like, all I know is that I believe God. That's all I know. I believe God. You can't take it away from me. I believe God when I didn't understand it. So now that I do understand it, you sure can't take away from me now. That's how we can say the testimony. Satan, you should have got me years ago when I was confused. You should have got me years ago when I didn't know all that I know now. When I didn't see myself. When I wasn't like everybody else. Where I say, I know what's in these shoes now. Oh, I know it's the size 12 now. You, I don't want yours. I don't want yours. I know just what these are in here. You know that song that we sang, that song, And He Walks With Me? There was somebody that used to say Andy. And they'd be like, who is Andy? Who's Andy? And he walks with me. But these shoes have been with me as I've been walking with the Lord. Oh, these shoes are on holy ground. I know what God has done for me in these things. I don't know how he touched you in yours. I don't know that he talked to you in yours. But I know that he's touched me in these bad boys. I know without a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in my life. See, I'm an old head now, Brother Warren. I'm old head now. I can say I've been through some things. Right? We can all say we've been through some things. And every single time. Woo! Woo! See, now when I'm talking about me, I'm talking about you. Don't think I'm exalted here. We're on the same side of the table. But every single time he put me in the fire, Oh, I've been coming out smelling like roses every single time. Satan throws me in the fire and goes, I thought it was just Brother Jay in there. Why is there somebody with a face of a man in there? There's somebody else in there. Who else is in there? They throw me in the hospital. Oh, you're going to be by yourself. There's somebody else in there. There's somebody else in there. Oh, I'm going through problems in life. And I look and I say, there's somebody else in there. Amen. I'm not by myself no matter what.
Amen.
That's how I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. That's how I'm more than able to get through this thing. Oh, we didn't come through these things smelling like roses. You know that story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? One of the most astonishing things, they came out of there, it didn't even smell like the fire. Come on now, we don't all been to a bonfire. You smell like it. I'd go to bonfires at my friend's house and come home, Miss Courtney, and go, oh, you've been sitting by the fire. I was only out there 5 minutes, honey. Smell like you lived out there. Go take a shower and burn those clothes. All right? You smell like outside. That's what me and the kids say. You smell like outside. We don't want to smell like outside. But that's just a couple minutes of being by bonfire. Those brothers were thrown in some serious heat. So much so that it killed the people on the outside of it. They come out of there. The only thing that was burnt, the only thing that burnt off of them was the restrictions. That's what happens to me every single time I go through something. The only thing that gets burnt off of me is the restrictions. I come out of that thing stronger, faster, better, and ready to go serve God even more. That's why I'm praising God. I told you, I said, I got a preaching liver now. Ooh, he had changed it out. He was like, no, I know what you need to do. Change that up for you. I praise him for it. I rejoice in it. It's all about mindset. It's all about mindset. Oh, I can tell you guys tons of stories. I got one more here. But I thought we were going, one time we were going to Kroger's, and I had to sit in this little cart thing. I was so mad. I hate it. For that time period, I was weak. And I had to ask for help. I had to get help. Even if I wanted to, as stubborn as I wanted to be, I wasn't going to be able to walk around Kroger's. And Pastor Moore wouldn't have no sympathy on me. He was like, we got to get some stuff to cook out. Let's go. His long legs, he's whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And I'm still in the car like, hey, at least unlock the door, right? These are all true, by the way. So anyway, we get into Kroger's, and I get in that little cart, and I'm just following him around the store, and the lady's like, hey, you know, the next time you should do it, and I'm like, word, stop. Ain't gonna be no next time. I'm about to work him, get out of this bad boy. The next time I'm being a walker, I'm gonna be behind the cart, but I'm moving. I'm not planning on staying like this. I'm not staying like this. I'm stronger than this. I got something on the inside of me that's going to push me through this. Oh, you don't know who you're talking to. There's something on the inside of me that's going to push me out of here. I'm not satisfied sitting around, rolling around the cart. That's how I come to church. I'm not satisfied sitting in the back, not understanding. I'm stronger than that. If I got to sit up front to let you talk directly to me, that's where I'm going to sit at. If I got to raise my hand and say, I got a question, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm stronger than that. We're stronger than that. We've been through too much. Don't let him go until he blesses you. Oh, Brother Jay, do you have a balance? Oh, you better believe I got a balance. I take the blessing whenever God wants to give it to me. But if he says I'm healed, I'm going to claim it till you see it. I don't even got to wait till I see it. That story of Brother Branham, he healed that blind man. That man went around saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And they were making fun of him. He's like, I don't care what you say. The prophet said I was healed. He's sitting down in that barber chair, and they were still making fun of him. He said, I'm healed. Then his eyes opened up. See what I love about that? He didn't start rejoicing then. He had already started saying, I'm healed. Woo! I praise him in advance. I know I'm healed. Oh, Brother Jay, you got this, you got that. Rapture, take care of that. I've already talked to God about it. He told me he's going to work it out. He already said it's going to take care of it. He said he's a healer. He said he's a deliverer. He said he's a savior. He said he's going to take care of me. Why can't I praise him in advance? If God be God, then just serve me. That's how I believe this thing. Oh, my, my, my. I love that God makes this thing so real. I love that we have a token. I love that we have that token. Oh, that's a separation. Whenever the token's on the scene, that's a separation. Matter of fact, even Brother Branham, when he was preaching, he got to the point where he had to say, it's the token or perish.
That's it.
Because it was such a separation.
It is.
You think about even the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and they had to put that blood over the door. That was their token.
Yeah.
And I love that they talk about it, but you know, the further you go reading the Bible, not all of them did that. Not everybody that was with Moses was with Moses. That's why he gave them all the stipulations to do. If it was just as simple as just cutting the lamb and putting some blood up, that's all he would have said. But he said, no, I want you to do this, prepare this. Those are qualifiers. It was a weeding out period. It was saying, I want you to clean it. Some people were like, I ain't cleaning it. Out. And then I want you to lay it up here. Then I want you to not waste anything. Then I want you to do it. He had all these steps. That only for a true believer that said, I just simply believe the word of God. And whatever he's asking me to do, if he wants me to clean this thing for 7 days, I'll clean it for 7 days. If he wants me to do this, if he wants me to burn it and don't eat all the extras, whatever the instructions that God wants to give me, I've already been fellowshipping with him. I'm going to do exactly what he's asking me to do. I'm just simply a believer. That's what happened to them. In this hour, there's been steps. We went through steps. And every step, a group of people fall off. Fall off. And fall off. We see it even just in the natural in a church. You see, you know, a ministry change and people fall off. Why? Well, the people that serve Brother Childers should be serving Pastor Moore. They're preaching the same thing. There should be no falling off. That's why even the scripture says, he that endureth to the end. Why would he have to say endure to the end? If just a good start was enough. If just a good start was enough. It ain't enough just a good start. You got to have a push the whole way. A push the whole way to get out of here. Oh, is it hard? No. Don't even let Satan lie to you about that. I don't even want to hear that garbage. It's not hard. Just follow. Matter of fact, being a follower is the easiest job.
Amen.
It is. It is. It's the easiest job. And when you realize that, you'll fall right into place. And I talk about work all the time. I'm a follower at work. I got a boss. I got one boss. And that's it. I don't have to listen to anybody else. But I got to listen to everything he says. If he says get up at 7, I get up at 7. He says get up at 5, I get up at 5. He says we're going to work till 10, I work till 10. It's easy. I ain't got to think about it. What time do we leave? Whenever he says. What time we get here? Whenever he says. What do we do while we're here? Whenever he says. If he tells me to sweep the floor, I'm going to sweep till he tells me to move. Stop sweeping. If I'm done sweeping and all the dust is gone, I'm going to keep sweeping until he comes back. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Right. If you give me a list of instructions, I'll do the list. If you give me one thing, I'll do the one thing. But it's not my responsibility as a follower. I ain't got to worry about it. So that's the same thing even in the church. I mean, we can go up in a different level. In the church, we come in here, Pastor Moore wants to build a fence, build a fence. How far you want it? You want it all the way down to the apartment, so you want to turn right here? What do you want to do? Put some holes in, build a fence. That's what he has to do. I ain't got to think about where the fence is going. I'm not paying for the fence. I'm not bringing the fence. I'm not delivering the fence. All he asked me to do is build some holes so he can put the fence in. I don't have any idea what the grand scheme plan is. I don't know the architectural design. I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't even care. Pothole, dig the hole. You want me to do something else? Yep, we're going to lay some concrete. Perfect. Okay. Whatever it is. See how easy it is if you take your thinking out of it? But what if I go over there and go, where is he putting the fence at? How far is it going to go down? What kind of material is he using? You know, if we use aluminum, that's not as strong as stainless steel. But wait, how much money does the church have to build a fence? See how many silly questions you start asking? That's just on the fence. That's just an example. You're just putting some energy in something that don't matter. If you came here and just sat down and just focused on what we're talking about, you'd be all right. The thing that I see that people do sometimes, they come in here and start worrying about scriptures that they ain't even talking about. We'll be in Revelation 19. They'll be like, okay, over in the book of Joshua. I'm like, why are you even over there? What are you trying to get out of there? Right? What are you doing? Is it tying back to the book of Revelation that we were already talking about? Because God's moving. I need you to stay with him. Stay right step. Just stay with the lesson plan. If we're on section 3-4, stay right there on section 3-4. Don't read ahead in the book. Don't go back. Stay right here, and we're going to get you where you need to be. That's easy. That's what it's like when you're fellowshipping with God. You're talking to somebody that has all the answers. You ain't got to reinvent the wheel. We got all the answers in here. Oh, my. I love to know what my reward is. I got this other quote here, and then one more scripture, and I'm going to get out of your way. This other quote here is from Brother Branham, and I'm going to get it pulled up here. Now, for context, this is Brother Branham, and he is preaching that message, Go Wake Jesus. And the story goes, and I'll paraphrase it, and let me throw a little disclaimer in there. If I paraphrase something and it's slightly wrong, like let's say I'm talking about a bike, and it was a blue bike instead of a purple bike, I know it's a bike. Okay? So don't get caught up in the colors. Stay with me, okay? So I'm paraphrasing the story. The disciples were on a boat with Jesus, okay? And they were told to go across. Right. Jesus was on the boat with them, okay? The Son of Man. They had seen him do 50 million miracles. They had seen him do all these things, and he's on the boat, okay? Now, Brother Brandon's preaching his message, go wake Jesus. But in that story, the disciples are on the boat. Jesus goes downstairs and gets some sleep. He's on the bottom of the boat, goes and gets some sleep. We know this story. The disciples forget who's on the boat when they start going through problems.
Right.
They forget. They're like, we're going to die. The storms start coming. The rain starts going. The disciples are like, we're all going to die. All would have been not the right word. They could die, but Jesus was on the boat. He still had a job to do. There was nothing that could happen to him until he did his job. So had they recognized it, they could have just went down there and went to sleep or just kept paddling and said, Jesus said, get to the other side, and we're going to do that. They could have just followed those simple instructions. Keep kicking and paddling. Keep kicking and paddling. Oh, the storm's coming. Keep kicking and paddling. It's raining. Keep kicking and paddling. Oh, this boat's going down. Keep kicking and paddling. That's what they could have done. But what they did? Oh, this boat ain't made for this kind of weather. Oh, this wood's going to splinter up if it gets more storms. Oh, if Jesus would come up here, if he knew what trouble we were in, we need to go wake him up. Now, what happened when they went to wake Jesus? He had already told them instructions on what to do. He had already fellowshiped with them and told them, hey, go to the other side. They had the answer. But they had to go back and get him. Hey, wake up. Jesus didn't get up and say, whoa, thanks, boys. Man, that was close. I would have died out there. No. He rebuked them. He rebuked them. I had already told you what to do. I already told you to go to the other side. He gets up and says, storm, be still.
Right?
It has to stop. Now the disciples, this is what's different between them and us. They could have done that. They could have said, Jesus said to get to the other side. Paddling this boat through the storm is getting a little rough. Storm, I'm going to need you to stay still.
Amen.
And it would have had to obey.
Right.
That's what he wanted. A show of faith. A show of some recognizing who's on the boat. But they had to go wake him up. In this hour, saints, God's awake.
Right.
Okay? Ain't nobody sleep at the helm.
No.
You know what to do now. You have the clear instructions. Don't let anything get in the way. Go to the rapture. Don't let anything get in the way. Don't let nobody's living situation, nobody's marriage situation, nobody's sexual orientation, nobody's gender, no political, no nothing get in the way. We got one job to do. That's to get on the other side. That's what God's already told us. We were sitting there fellowshipping with God. He said, take everything off your plate.
Amen.
That's everything. That's everything. Whatever you would want to put on there. And we know this message goes all around the world, but whatever you'd want to put on that thing, get it off your plate.
Right.
We're getting out of here. Pastor Moore even likened it to going on vacation. Yeah. Talking about how, you know, you pack. But when it's time to go, you time to go. Now, some things that you just got to have on a vacation. If you're going international, you have to have a passport. You don't need a toothbrush, but you have to have a passport. Right? You just have to have that. That's how this new birth is. I'd love for you to pack an extra change of clothes. I'd love for you to bring a toothbrush. I'd love for you to bring some extra soap. I want you to have some deodorant. I want you to be clean around your brothers and sisters. I want you to take a shower before we go get on the plane. But you better have that passport. That's your new birth. That's your ticket. You better make sure that's in the bag. Everything else we can get on the other side. Oh, will I be more neighborly? I probably will be over there then. If I'm not as neighborly as I should be over here, I'll be more neighborly over there. If I'm not a stature that I should be over here, I'll be that stature over there. But the one thing I do have, I got my passport. That much I do have, that I'm ready for the journey. That makes you ready for the journey. Oh, my. Brother Childers had took a trip one time, and one of his passengers had lost their passport. Now, Brother Childers, we know him. He's a wealthy guy on this side. No money in the world. Don't buy that passport. You could be a millionaire. You don't got a passport, you're not going anywhere. Nowhere. No other country cares about any amount of money you have if you don't have a passport. They don't. They don't care at all. They'll detain you, and you'll sit there until you bring your passport. Because until then, you're not even a United States citizen. They have no respect for you at all. You don't even have access to money. without that passport. That passport is the most important thing. That new birth. Get that. Brother Jay, I want to dress better. Okay. Go buy a dress. But make sure you got that passport with you when you go get that dress. Oh, I wish my kids would behave better in church. I do too. I'm tired of hearing them. Right? But make sure you got your passport. Make sure you got that token on display. Oh, Brother Jay, you could wish a bunch of things. But have that passport. Make sure that new birth is sure. You fellowshipping with God, whatever it takes, asking. Lord, I want to be sure. And he'll reveal it to you just more and more and more. That's the benefit of fellowshipping with God. Amen. We're going to read one more scripture here. Oh, actually, I didn't even get to read my quote. Sorry. Yes, I quoted it. There we go. We're good. Yeah, that was in 63. Go wake Jesus. Anyway, let's read this last scripture here. This is 2 Timothy 4. And if you guys don't mind, we'll stand up and read this. Let's stand up and read this. Because this is my scripture that turned me on today. And last night when I saw this thing. I think you guys will like it as well. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've done everything God asked me to do up until today. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. If he gets me up tomorrow, I'll fight another good fight. I'll finish that course and I'll keep the faith. But here's verse 8. Let's read this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now, come on now. Here's where it gets exciting. Here's where it gets exciting. And not for me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. That's us. We love his appearing. That's us. Not just for me, but for all of them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Amen. Come on up, Pastor Moore.
Amen. Fellowshipping with God. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things in this world, but if you don't know God and you can't fellowship with Him, then you don't have nothing going for you. But if you have true fellowship with God, all this other stuff, whether you have it or not, it doesn't even matter. God can come right in your midst and he can talk to you and he can say exactly what he wants you to do. But if you pick and choose and pick because you think you know what God's doing and you don't. I remember Jay talked about building that fence out there. Do you know, when I built the fence out there, I told him to build this one fence so far. And I told him, come over here to this other side and build a fence so far. And everybody thought that was the strangest thing. Why are you putting a fence in the middle of the yard? Shouldn't you put it here? Everybody had our ideas of where. But what they didn't know is that I had a vision of that shelter in my mind. And we put the fencing up before we even built the shelter. So to everybody looking at it, it looked as though, well, that's right in the middle of the yard. Why in the world would he do a thing like that? But the thing was, we built the shelter later, and I needed it to be open so that we can get in with all the material to build the shelter. And then after that, we put in the trees, and now everybody looks and it's like, oh, that looks nice over there. But at the time, it wasn't so, and everybody had an idea of what I was trying to do, and they didn't have no clue.
Right.
But the thing is, if you fellowship long enough, you stay around God long enough, he'll tell you what he's trying to do. Don't try to think ahead of God. Just do what God asks you to do. And I was thinking about Abraham and Lot. And Jay hit it right, and I never really thought about it until tonight when he was preaching. I thought, and I thought about it earlier. I made a note of it. I said, you know, the only reason Lot was saved was because he knew Abraham.
Right.
That's the only reason. The only reason Lot was saved was because he knew Abraham. And Abraham's love for Lot is what saved him. Abraham's love for Lot was what got him out of a lot of trouble. Every time Lot would get in trouble, Abraham would go save him. He'd go back home up on his mountain, and they say, Lot's in trouble again. Abraham would go save him. But Abraham loved Lot. That was one of his loved ones. So Abraham's token not only took care of Sarah, but it actually took care of Lot.
Yeah, it
did. Those foolish virgins out there that deal with you day in and day out, that do the things they do because they love you, they're going to get eternal life because of you. And it was no different than Abraham. I thought, thank God Lot loved Abraham. Because he was the savior of the body. And the bride is the savior of the body. We're fellowshipping with God now. Like we've never been able to fellowship with God. He knows what he's doing with us. He's walking, he's talking with us. And that Son of Man ministry is the last final voice to the final age. Nobody else can do what this bride can do. Do you realize we are going to get the dead up? We're going to actually unite with the dead that no one's ever been able to do. And you say, well, I don't know about that. That's what the Word says. That's what Thessalonians says. But that's okay. God's got it in His hands. And we're not worried about all the trying to convince everybody. I'm not trying to convince people now. I'm not trying to convince people that we're even right. You know, Abraham didn't try to convince anybody he was right. He just lived long enough. They saw the body change themselves. When they saw Abraham and Sarah, they said, my goodness, something's happened to that man. But the thing about this body change, they're not going to see this. We'll be changed in a moment, and we'll be caught up with the Lord, and they'll go right on like they are supposed to. But we are fellowshipping in the cool of the evening, just like Adam. That's why we're resting and enjoying this thing. We enjoy this. I enjoyed that, Jay. That was good. It's good. Come on, musicians. We've been blessed here. Now, there's one more announcement that they didn't announce that I just let Praveen know about it tonight. Brother Ben Noor is going to be here on September 11th. So we want to add that on to our announcements and make plans to be able to be here for that service as well. We're getting towards the end of the year. There's a lot of things that's going on. We're almost to October. And the year goes fast. Next thing you know, we'll be talking about the New Year service. And that won't be that far off. Greater is He that's in me, key of F, than he that's in the world. Come back on Sunday expecting, and we'll see what God has in store for us. Amen. God bless you. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Than He that is in me. Oh, yes, greater is He. Yes, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. I don't know if they have these words, but Satan's like a roaring lion, roaring to and fro.
seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. God has promised us today his overcoming power. Oh yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. One more time. Satan's like a roaring lion. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcoming power. Oh yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, greater is he.
Greater is he.